All right, welcome back everyone to the Deep Dive. We're diving into a real classic today, a landmark zoning case all the way back from 1947.
Oh wow, 1947, that's going way back.
It is, yeah. It's called Bartram v. Zoning Commission, a Connecticut Supreme Court case that, believe it or not, still has a huge impact on how we understand and grapple with this thing called spot zoning.
Spot zoning. It's almost like a legal boogeyman.
It kind of is, right? Because on the one hand, you can see why it raises red flags.
Yeah.
You know, singling out one property for special treatment. It sounds kind of fishy, right?
It definitely raises eyebrows. Like, is this fair? Is it part of a bigger plan or just, you know, someone pulling strings?
Exactly. So in this deep dive, we're going to really dissect Bartram and see what it tells us about those questions. Like, when can a zoning commission say, okay, this one lot in a residential area, it's going commercial. What makes it legit? And when does it cross the line?
And it's not just theory, right? This gets to the heart of how neighborhoods develop, property values, what people expect when they buy a home.
Totally. I mean, imagine you buy a house in a quiet residential neighborhood, and then boom, right next door, someone gets the okay to put in a gas station or a 24-hour convenience store.
Not the peaceful sanctuary you signed up for.
Not at all.
Yeah.
So let's unpack this 1947 case. It all went down in Bridgeport, Connecticut. We've got this guy, Mr. Rome. He owns this piece of land.
A big lot.
Not huge. It was like a quarter of an acre, something like 125 by 133 feet. And get this, it was zoned residential, had been since 1936.
Okay, so well established. And what did Mr. Rome want to do with it?
Well, the zoning commission decided to rezone it. They called it business number 3, which, depending on the specific zoning codes, often means stuff like small shops, maybe a dry cleaner or a little bakery, with some parking, of course.
Okay. I can see why that might cause a stir.
Oh, yeah. The neighbors were not happy. They wanted to keep the residential character of their neighborhood, which makes total sense.
Of course, they probably bought their houses with certain expectations, property values, peace and quiet, all that.
Exactly. So they're obviously up in arms. But the commission had their reasons.
Yeah, I'm curious to hear what they were. What justification did they give for this rezoning?
So they said the lot was on a pretty major street, and there wasn't a good shopping center nearby for at least a mile. And they also said that the impacts wouldn't be too bad, mostly just affecting one house next door. But here's the big one. They claimed it was part of a bigger policy, you know, just spread businesses out, maybe ease up on traffic in more central, already busy areas.
Interesting. So kind of a big picture argument, but that didn't fly with the neighbors.
Nope. They decided to appeal the decision, take it to the Court of Common Pleas.
Gutsy move. And what did the court say?
Well, the trial court sided with the neighbors. They basically said, nope, this looks like improper spot zoning. You know, they were worried about singling out this one property without a rock solid reason.
Makes sense. But I'm guessing that wasn't the end of the story.
No way. The zoning commission wasn't backing down. They appealed that ruling, and the case ended up going all the way to the Connecticut Supreme Court.
Ah, so this is where the big legal precedent gets set. But, you know, for our listeners who might not be super familiar with zoning law, what exactly is spot zoning?
Right, it's a good question. In the simplest terms, imagine you've got a neighborhood where zoning-wise, everything is the same, single-family homes, right? Spot zoning is when, for some reason, they change the zoning for just one little spot, one lot, to be something different from everything around it.
And why is that generally a bad thing?
Well, it can feel arbitrary, like someone's getting preferential treatment and it's not part of a bigger plan.
Yeah.
Legally, there's this idea that it goes against good public policy.
Because it can mess with property values, change the character of a neighborhood, you know, without a good reason.
Precisely. Mm-hmm. But what makes Bartram so important is that it kind of carves out this exception to the spot zoning is bad rule.
Oh, really? An exception.
Yeah. The Connecticut Supreme Court basically said, listen, spot zoning can be a problem, but it's not always invalid. They basically said that it can be okay if it clearly helps the whole community and fits into a larger plan or policy.
So it's about context, right? If there's a broader public good being served, it might be justified.
Exactly. And in this case, the big question for the court was, did the Bridgeport Zoning Commission mess up by rezoning Mr. Rome's lot? Was it improper spot zoning, or were they within their rights to make that call?
Right, a classic legal dilemma. The line between legitimate zoning power and overreach.
And the Supreme Court, they made a big decision here. They decided to overturn the lower court's ruling.
So they sided with the zoning commission.
They did. They said that rezoning this one lot wasn't improper spot zoning. And it wasn't like they abused their power or anything.
What was their reasoning?
Well, they agreed that spot zoning can be tricky, but they said, look, it's not automatically illegal. And remember the commission's argument about decentralizing business and easing traffic? The court basically said, yeah, that could actually be seen as a community benefit.
Interesting. So they gave some weight to the commission's broader policy goals.
Yeah. And they also made it clear that zoning commissions, you know, they get to make these kinds of judgment calls. It's within their discretion to figure out what benefits the community, unless, of course, they're being totally unreasonable or breaking zoning rules.
A lot of deference given to the commission there, but not everyone agreed, right? Wasn't there a dissenting opinion?
There was, and it's an important one. The dissenting judge really hammered on the lack of a formal, written, comprehensive plan. They said without that, this rezoning just looked random and could really mess up residential areas.
So two very different perspectives. One, emphasizing flexibility for zoning commissions. The other, stressing the need for clear, written guidelines.
And that's what makes Bartram such a touchstone case. It's a bit of a balancing act. And from Bartram, we kind of get a test for whether spot zoning is actually okay.
Okay, a test. I like that. Makes it easier to understand.
Yeah, it boils down to two main things. First, does this zoning change, even if it's just for one spot, does it really help the whole community? Is there a public good in mind?
Right. It can't just be about benefiting one property owner. It has to have a broader purpose.
Exactly. And the second part of the test is whether the zoning commission was acting reasonably. Like, were they being fair, following the rules, not just making arbitrary decisions?
So in Bartram itself, how did the court apply this two-part test?
Well, they basically decided that, yeah, this idea of spreading out businesses to reduce traffic, that could be seen as a valid plan, even if it wasn't formally written down somewhere.
And they also felt that the commission was being reasonable in their concerns about traffic, even if the neighbors disagreed.
Right. So Bartram, even though it's old, it still matters. It gives zoning commissions some leeway, especially if they can show that their decisions will benefit the public.
It's a landmark case that still echoes in modern zoning law. And it helps us understand how courts grapple with those tricky questions of balancing individual property rights with the needs of the community as a whole.
Right. And you see this all the time today. Like, think about those debates over mixed-use developments, you know, where they want to put apartments or shops into traditionally single-family home areas.
Or affordable housing projects.
Oh, yeah, those can get heated.
They do. And a lot of times, the legal arguments go right back to Bartram and this whole question of spot zoning. It's like, can you change the zoning for this one area? Is it part of a bigger plan? And is the commission acting fairly?
Fascinating how a case from 1947 is still shaping these contemporary discussions.
Absolutely. So the big takeaway, especially for those of you deep in law school, spot zoning isn't always a no-go. If it's truly for the good of the community and part of a smart plan, it might pass muster.
And it leaves us with a lot to think about, doesn't it? Like, should courts always demand a formal written plan? How much should they listen to neighbors who are upset, even if a change might be good for the whole town?
Really tough questions. And that's the heart of zoning law, isn't it? This constant push and pull between individual rights, what a neighborhood wants, and what's best for the entire community. It's about creating thriving, well-planned communities while respecting property rights and making sure decisions are fair and transparent. Always an evolving challenge, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Well, that's all the time we have for today's deep dive into Bartram v. Zoning Commission. Thanks for joining us.
It's been a pleasure. Until next time.